Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. I'm your host, Nicole Blue Sky, and I wanted to say thank you to everyone who's joining me today live. If you will be joining me on the archives, please know that all the information you get today will be just as valid, and you don't have to listen live in order to benefit from all of the stuff that's shared on this show. And happy Memorial Day to everyone. I know it's tomorrow, but I won't be talking to you tomorrow, so I'm going to just say that today. If you're not already, would you please go to Facebook and become a fan of my Confessions of a Spirit Messenger page. It's under Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. I know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's a real secret. And just click like. There's a lot of announcements on there. If you would like to contact me, you can email me through that page. It's probably the easiest and best way to get in touch with me. And that's pretty much it for announcements today. Today is an hour show, unless I run out of material, in which case I will definitely just clip the show early. But not sure how many people are going to be around today. It looks like there's only maybe one person in the chat right now. I know it's one of those holiday weekends where people are often doing things with their family. I'm actually spending time with my family today as well. And also, actually, if you haven't had a chance to, go to confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com and check out my blog, chock full of information and a lot of experiences that I've had, I've written about there. Just a lot of information that comes to me from my spirit guides comes to me there. And I think in the future what I'm going to try to do with that page is try to work a little bit more with not necessarily explaining who I am and what I do, but some kind of educational kind of material I think will start to show up in the next 6 months or so. Since I've been back to Boston and I'm still regrouping from, you know, my big move from Texas and all that. I'm still trying to figure out what everything is all about here. You know, I knew that Spirit had a big reason for me to be here. Otherwise, I would not have been uprooted and relocated all the way back across the country to where I ran away from to begin with, needless to say. You know, not to bash this area or anything, but people up here are very rush, me-oriented. I lived here my whole life, and I really wanted something different. I ran down to Texas, and it was just, honestly, on an energetic level, it was bliss. People were kinder. They were more slow-paced. Fewer people down there are going to be willing to cut you in line than they will be up here or to cut you off. Remember, the first week I was there, coming out of side streets with my car, people were actually stopping and waving me by, and I thought I was dreaming. I didn't know what was going on there. There's just a different vibe, and I really enjoyed my time there. But here I am back again, and, you know, this show is called Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. Why is it called that? I'm sure some people have wondered that because I'm not quite so obvious all the time, although most of the time I am, I think. But the confessions part is the part where I basically share my journey. I share what's going on behind the scenes, the things that other mediums or psychics or people that have traveled this road don't share because they're either private or they feel that they shouldn't be shared. But my purpose with the gifts that I have, which I'm always still developing and trying to understand, it's a constant battle to try to get a grip on what it is that I'm actually doing with all of this. My purpose is to help everyone with their journey. My purpose is not to necessarily take you aside and say, hey, I'm going to tell you this is what your angels and everyone is telling you to do, so you just go out and you do it. I believe that that makes me an authority figure in your life that doesn't need to be there. You are your own authority. I am here to give you your power back. That's what I'm all about. So having said that, you know, I come all the way back up to Boston. I'm reconnecting with some old friends and doing all that. The first thing that happened to me, and I don't think I've spoken about this yet, so I'm going to do it now. The first thing that happened was, you know, I do have an elderly grandfather that lives with my family and has for a very long time. And he has had some health issues. You know, as you get older, this is sort of expected. The thing is, what I find, what other people might find coincidental is, when things were happening, if I wasn't here, no one would have been around. See, he's extremely independent, and actually, he's not a disabled person. You know, he's, at least he wasn't up until a few months ago. You know, he was pretty strong. He's still driving, could pretty much do everything, had all his faculties. There was really, you know, he didn't need to be babysat. He wasn't one of these people that needs to be babysat. And when something happened, I happened to be here. And it's not even a coincidence with that, because there was one instance, which the first instance is that he had some trouble with his knee. He had some knee replacement surgery, and the assumption was that it was the actual knee. It turned out to be something else that was causing the problem, but he wasn't able to. He kind of rolled out of bed one day and dragged himself across the floor, you know, we found him on the floor, and we were like, "What happened? Did you fall?" And he said, "No, I just couldn't get up." And this was a frightening experience for me to see someone so strong, who'd been a person in the family that, you know, was very dependable and independent, to all of a sudden see them not be that person. It really messed with me. And to all of a sudden be the person that had to step in and take control and do things, that was something else. That was another experience that I had never had. So I was the one that had to call, you know, to get the ambulance and, you know, take him to the hospital and do all that. But the funny thing is, that day I actually had plans, and a friend of mine was on her way up, and I had been offered another opportunity to take like a temporary job for the day, and I turned it down. I said, "No, I don't think so." And in my mind, I could hear my inner self saying, "Something's going to happen that you need to be here for. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen." And, you know, my friend coming over a little bit more casual. So, you know, if I hadn't, those circumstances hadn't lined up, he would have been there by himself. And, you know, that this has just been a journey. You know, my mom and dad have a place in Florida that they're planning to retire to, and she happened to be down there at the time. My dad happened to be at work, and here I was. I was the one that was here to help. And I was the one that had to just step up to the plate. And it's a very scary feeling when you all of a sudden realize for the first time you're having to step into the role that your parents once had for you, even though it was my grandfather. Still, you know, it's like I literally became an adult that day. And since then, also, I don't know if some of you are my friends on Facebook, you know that my mother has been having some trouble with her vision. Had I not been here, had I not been, you know, if I wasn't here right now, she wouldn't really have very much help. And that's another thing. So as time has gone on, you know, this war with myself, why am I back here? It must be because I failed on some level and this is somehow punishment. No, it is not. It is purpose. And part of what I do with this whole confessional part of it is share the fears, share the uncertainty, because we all have it. Gifts or not, you all have it. We're all human. It's part of being here. But also just to share the part where I do turn to my spiritual side. I do plug in and meditate and ask for the guidance and the wisdom to come through, and it does. And when it does, it is just so pure and so simple, and it's easy to understand. I've never gotten complex messages from spirit where it was like going on some kind of, you know, hazing thing of, you know, find a can in this park and then drive to, you know, upstate New York and get a raindrop from, you know, a state forest. It's never like that with spirit. They give you the most simple wisdom possible, because it's meant for you to take and do it what you will with it. It's not really a command. It's not a scavenger hunt. But you do have to do a little bit of the work. You know, you do have to take responsibility for your own actions. So finding my purpose up here, this is one of the things is, you know, and then once I realized this was a huge part of it, then other stuff started to come. Then I started to realize, you know, there's more to it. One of the messages that I received before I came up here was something about make yourself known in the community. Make yourself known in the community. And I thought, you know, what community? You know, where am I supposed to go? Who are these people? And I realized a lot of that was I was constantly drawn to Salem. Go to Salem, go to Salem, go to Salem. I'd go there. I wouldn't know what I was doing there. I'd just walk around and hope that something called out to me. And I did have sort of an agenda when I went this time around to the first couple of times, and that was to meet and connect with Lori Bruno, who is one of the Salem witches. She is a Strega, which is an Italian witch. It is not Wicca. It is actually witchcraft. It is an ancient religion. It's not, and it isn't, you know, the stuff that you see in the movies. But I had been receiving these messages from Spirit to understand this, you know. Don't be afraid of the darkness. Don't be afraid, you know, this whole image of the modern witch being this, you know, Glinda with the magic wand and love and light and everything will be fine. It's, you know, it's a little bit one-sided and it's a little bit, how can I put it, airy-fairy. There are aspects of life that are dark and light, and we need to embrace both of them in order to be whole, in order to understand the universe, you know, in order to understand everything. So that was also part of my purpose, and I've connected with her. And for anyone who might be interested in what she's about, she actually just did it's very hard for me to explain for someone else what they are about. She's best to do it herself. But I will tell you that she is one of my greatest teachers at this time. She is one of the greatest living teachers that you will find on the planet at this time. And I'm proud to say that I am a minister in her church. So if anyone is interested in learning more about her, she recently did Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and that can be found online if you go to coasttocoast.com. You do have to become a member to access the archives there. But I will tell you that even if you just do the $6.95 for the first month, it's a well worth episode to purchase. She is an amazing, remarkable person, and I've learned a lot from her already, and I know I have much, much, much more to learn from her. Today's topic specifically was meant to be honoring the dead, honoring your loved ones in spirit. And so the segue to that, I'm going to talk a little bit about witchcraft today. And hopefully that doesn't scare some of you off. And if it does, then, you know, I bless you with that, because I am as far from anything evil, satanic, or harmful that you will ever find on this planet. I have the softest heart. I have compassion that I wish that I didn't sometimes, because it's to my own detriment. And I would love to redefine for you what a witch is and what a witch is not. But basically, if you are fortunate enough to be in the area up in Massachusetts where Salem is, I would encourage you to visit a store called Hex Old World Witchery. It is on Essex Street. And you know what I'll do is I will go try to find that link real quick and post that in the chat room. It used to be Salem Hex, but the owner is Christian Day, who is the author of The Witch's Book of the Dead. Great book, by the way. If you really want to learn what it is to work with the other side from a witchcraft standpoint, definitely you want to check that book out. And let's see, Hex Salem. Oops, Salem. My fingers don't want to work today. He has actually opened up a store down in New Orleans, and he's down there right now working on that store. Oh, it looks like you still can get it under www.salemhex.com. You can find out the addresses on there, phone number. You can make appointments, check out what they have for merchandise. And one of the major things that they have in the store is an altar for the dead, which sounds, you know, just probably hear the pipe organs in the background as I say, altar for the dead. Ooh. But guess what? There's nothing scary about it. It's actually the centerpiece of the store. You walk in, there are candles lit. Now, if you don't understand what some of these things are, yes, it can appear to be somewhat strange, gothic-looking, you know, just a little overbearing or overwhelming to you, I guess is the best way to put it. But, you know, the candles are lit for prayers. They're lit for protections. There are photographs of people who have passed on there. There are notes. You're able to actually go and write a note to your loved one and place it on the altar. And the idea of the altar is just like an altar in, like, I grew up Catholic, so let's use that kind of an example as a church altar. It's like the altar is the place where you go to offer up your prayers. And so this is your centerpiece, your focal piece for praying to bless your loved ones, to send them higher in vibration and help them wherever they are in the spirit world in their development, because we do continue to develop as we cross over into the spirit world. Life goes on. It's a magical place. And there are going to be, and I won't lie to you, it does become cross a little bit jarring when you first start to notice in the store that there are a lot of images of skulls and things of that nature. But you know what? The biggest problem with these things isn't the fact that they're in there. It's the fact that we have ideas about them that give us these emotions. You know, we have associations with them. There's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing actually wrong with a human skull. Witches are considered caretakers of the dead. They're considered, you know, custodians of these skulls if they do own a skull. And as long as nobody's being harmed, I never have a problem with whatever anyone's doing. So that's my basic philosophy, but I would recommend going by there and checking it out. You'll have your eyes open for you. I really feel that the true sense of spirituality is not religion. It's a blending of the truths that are found in all religions. They're just universal truths they're undeniable. And they're found in different contexts and different cultures and different parts of the world where, you know, everyone is just wanting the same thing, which is that connection back home. They want to feel close to themselves. They want to feel close to their creator. And they want to understand the meaning of their lives. Every person wants this. It doesn't matter who you are. So when it comes to honoring the dead, honoring your loved ones in spirit, first of all, we never die. That's just something I want to get out of the way right now. We don't die. And it's not necessarily about making your loved ones into a deity. It isn't that. I would define prayer as communication. You know, it's been said that prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening. I kind of believe that. I've found that to be true for myself. And I've had an altar to the dead since I was a little girl. When I first started studying these things and realizing what they really were instead of what they were glammed up to look like or how to, you know, to be sold and marketed to the mass public, I really started to have my eyes opened. Well, my grandmother passed away, and most of you know the story already if you've been listening and reading my blog from the very beginning. My grandmother passed away when I was 8 years old, and I had a very intense connection with her. And after she passed, she did come to visit me. And this is when I started to realize that there was something else going on that, you know, wasn't considered normal. You know, people don't see someone after they pass away. That's what happens. They go. The ideas that I was taught, you know, by the church, by, you know, the people around me were, you know, this is what happens. You go home, you go to God, and that's the end of the story. No one sees you anymore. Well, that wasn't the case for me. And very naturally, without being told, without ever having seen anyone do it before, I've had sort of an altar for my grandmother on my bureau. I had pictures of her and little things that she'd purchased for me, little figurines. She loved Disney World. My grandmother was a huge Disney fan. She bought me all of these figurines of the Seven Dwarfs and Snow White, Cinderella, the Prince. I mean, I had all of these things. And they were all around that picture because they were things that she loved and they were things that she gave to me. I had this obsession with lighting candles, although at that time in my life I was a kid, so I didn't really have that going on. But once I reached high school age, for example, you know, I was very much into candles and lighting candles. And that was something else that she had done with me when I was a really little girl. I want to say maybe like 5 years old. She lived in the north end of Boston, and she would take me. We walked, of course. Everybody walked back then everywhere. Nobody had vehicles, or if you did, you didn't use them just to go to the market or any of that stuff. We would walk to. We went to more than one church. I can't remember all, what they were, but I know one of them was St. Leonard's in Boston. And she would take her rosary beads out, which everyone says they have no idea what I'm talking about, but I know that my grandmother had this beautiful pair of blood red rosary beads. They were so gorgeous. I don't know if they were glass or crystal or what, and no one knows where they are. I think she might have them with her, you know, buried, but she took them out, and she'd show me, this is how you do this. You kneel before you get into the pew, and then you come inside and you kneel, and this is how you say the rosary. And even though I didn't know all the words, I would pretend to say them with her because I wanted to pray with her. And she would go over and she'd put a dollar inside the little box, and we would light a candle, and she would tell me, you know, we're going to pray for somebody. So you put this in here and you press the button and light the candle. Oh, okay. You know, my grandmother was my first spiritual teacher. And I didn't, you know, it didn't even occur to me. And even though it was in the Catholic faith, what I learned was not necessarily doctrine and dogma. It was, you know, how to connect to God, how to be mindful of the people around you and understand that they need your help, and that one of the ways to help them is through asking for them to be blessed and for them to be healed and for these types of things. So at a very early, and I was, you know, I was born with a very wide open heart. And like I say, it's a lot of it is to my detriment at times because I can appear very, very childlike and wide-eyed, but I will never lose that. It's at the core of who I am. And ever since then, you know, like I say, I light candles. I keep pictures. And it wasn't really even until I went off to college and I met other people. You know, you go to college and it's no longer, you know, your hometown. You're somewhere else and people come from everywhere to go to this college. And I started to see other people's traditions and other people's beliefs. And I realized there were people that thought it was not a good idea to speak of the dead, talk about them at all. And it wasn't a good idea to have pictures of them everywhere. And I thought, oh, well, that's just not what I think. But I didn't even think that anyone else would think differently. So it was like a real education for me. This is really, everything has been a learning experience for me. And I look at it that way. And see, the one thing if you take away from the show that you take nothing else away, if I call myself a witch, if being a witch means that I embrace all religions, that I find the biggest goal in my life is to help humanity, then please take that as the definition of what a witch is. That I remember the dead, that I connect with them regularly, that they're still a part of my life and that they're not gone. That's what a witch is. The person that you go to for help, the person that, you know, helps you get some perspective. But it's more of a philosophy for me than a religion. It is not, I don't have a set of doctrines. I don't have a set of prayers. And actually, in fact, I hate to say these words sometimes because they sound so contradictory, but I would consider myself a Catholic witch because I grew up in the Catholic faith, and those, the saints and the prayers that I was taught, I still use those prayers. I still have that belief. Those prayers are beautiful. And if my representation of mother energy, like considering, you know, there's Kuan Yin, there's the Virgin Mary, there's Diana, there are all these different representations of mother energy. It's all the same thing in a different cloak. There's nothing wrong with praying one to one or the other. We're all, you know, in that vibration of that energy when we're doing that. So absolutely. Do I have rosary beads? Absolutely. Do I have a hand of Fatima, which is considered sort of like Muslim? Absolutely. I have one of those. I have a Buddha on my altar as well. I embrace all of it because all of it has meaning. All of it has, you know, the same vibration to it. And I guess I would say that that's what it is. But it's, you know, the typical person picks up spirituality and puts it back down on a shelf. When, you know, maybe once a week, if you're a church-going person, you pick it up and you put it down. Okay, I go to church, said my prayers, did my duty, that's it. Spirituality is so much more rich than what religion gives it credit for. It can be a part of your everyday life. You can talk to your loved ones whenever you want. They can hear you. I can't tell you how many times people have said, can you tell my mom that I miss her? And it's, you know, I sit there and I'm thinking, you just did. You don't need me to do that. And maybe from a marketing perspective, that's not great business, but guess what? My purpose here isn't about that. My purpose here is about helping people, and I really just, that's all that I really want to do. I never quite know what's going to happen when I give a reading. My readings tend to be a blend of different things. They don't tend to be one thing or another. I do have some mediumship that happens. Occasionally, I get spirit guides that will come in and just offer their advice as to what a person might need to pay attention to in order to get to the next level. I will give them, my spirit guides will come through, and they'll work with the people that I'm talking to. And it happens in the most crazy places at times. It doesn't always have to be during a reading. I am used as a channel daily. Everyone has their own personality. Everyone has their own, little compartments that, this is what I take out when I go to work, and I put this part of me away because it's not appropriate, or, this is how I am around my family, and this other stuff doesn't get mentioned, yada, yada, yada. But with me, anything could happen at any time. Anything could come out of my mouth at any time. And my philosophy, who I am, what my heart is about, is all about coming from the heart. And that's why I identify so closely with Native American beliefs and with the animals and all that stuff. I really just feel that my brand of spirituality is its own brand. It's its own blend of my personal truth. And what I find is that I'm able to pull on all of these different things that I've learned. I mean, I've been studying this since I left home, for college. I was like being let out of a cage. It was like, woo, woo, woo. Now I can read about this stuff, and it's all okay, and no one's going to think I'm weird. Being a sensitive person, everything you do, you're super conscious of, and you don't want anyone to tell you it's wrong, because it will affect you, and you'll start to believe it's wrong. Sensitivity can be very hard to handle at times, especially growing up and being a young person, high school age and stuff like that. I was just so happy to be able to have private time by myself in a little dorm room where I could just read and experiment with these different belief systems. And what I've basically found is that over the past, when did I graduate? A long time ago, 15, 16 years. A lot of the things that I've read come out at different times. I'm able to identify with many, many different people in different cultures and classes or whatever, however you will have it, because of the work that I've done. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was laying a foundation. But by following my inner voice, this is what I've been led to. Now, I'll talk about that a little bit as well. The way that guidance works, we tend to be a very impatient race as human beings, and especially in the digital age, we want to click and we want to get an answer. We want to arrive at the end. Nobody wants to go through the ritual of dating and weeding through people. They just want to get married and have their family and have their love of their life. And the process is what we all have a problem with here. And it sometimes can be long and drawn out. My process for all of this was like a 15-year process. I found myself in classes on crystals and mediumship development, and not really arriving at any kind of solid conclusion after the fact, and thinking, why did I just even do this? What was it for? It was a pointless endeavor. I wasted my money. I wasted my time, being part of paranormal groups and watching how they work or how they bring mediums into it. All of these things I've thrown myself into because I just kept getting these very strong messages from my inner voice. This is what you need to do. You need to learn this. You need to be a part of this. And here I am, and all of this stuff comes into play. And I am by no means an expert in any one of these particular things. However, as I said, I believe that the real truth isn't a blend of what these things have brought to my life. They're not, nothing is its own entity, I guess, in terms of the end-all, be-all of truth. So, okay. So back to honoring your loved ones in spirit. I recently did a reading for someone, and it was actually a very young person, which I had no idea how old this person would be. I just kind of showed up and was like, let's see how it goes. It's kind of how you get the attitude you got to have when you do this kind of work. Any information I get ahead of time, if I get any, it just destroys the process. Because I'm overthinking, and once my logical processes are engaged, it's all over. My little brain will just take over. So we had this, you know, we had this discussion and we talked about, well, a couple of people that came through and wanted to speak with her and just let her know they were around and that they were all together. And I think she got what she needed out of the reading. And then some other stuff started to come. And this is what I say, it's a blending of things. It is a blending of things. I would call this an angelic vibration, decided to come through. And before I left for this reading, I felt really strongly, like, please bring your angel deck. I have an actual angel therapy deck from Dorian Virtue. And I was like, bring my angel deck out? I don't think that's what they want from me. Always got to argue, right? Italian, Northeast. This is how I was brought up. And I brought the angel deck. When I got there, this is what happened after the mediumship part of the reading. This other energy came through, and it was like, and I said something about, I feel really strongly like you need to pull a couple of cards from this deck, and it's an angel deck. And I was told by my spirit people that angelic energy is something that you needed to be aware of today. And of course, the look on her face told me that this was true. And she shared with me, and I won't say who anybody is. I always respect the privacy of anyone that I work with in this way. But she shared with me that someone had recently given her a keychain with a guardian angel on it. When they gave it to her, they told her, so this was sort of like a teacher, she just graduated from high school, it's like a teacher or principal or someone like that who was trying to be supportive, gave it to her and said, you know, just keep this with you because your guardian angel is with you all the time. And she kind of looked at this person with disbelief and thought, yeah, right, thanks. Thanks for trying to be nice to me. I appreciate the gesture, whatever. So I told her this, you know, that the angels want you to know that they're real. And her face was just like, oh, I can't believe that. And I said, did you have this belief like that was just a bunch of crap, you know, just people making you feel better? And she was like, yeah. She told me the story about the little guardian angel keychain. And I was like, well, you know what? It may not have been a loved one from the other side who said this. It was another being that was looking after you. Yay, you have more than just your loved ones on the other side watching out for you people. Believe me, there's a lot of support there, but we have to ask for it. You can't just, it doesn't just come out of the sky. They just wanted her to know that. You're not alone. We're real. How crazy is that? So, and she actually had a little tattoo of angel wings in her wrist that I didn't notice. That she just showed them to me. She was like, oh, did you know I had this? And I said, no. But that's fantastic, you know. So sometimes it's more about the confirmation. I'm sort of the person that lets you know that what you were thinking was heard a lot of the time. I often hear the phrase, it's funny you say that because, you know, that's how I know I'm doing my work. Something just comes into my head. A lot of my psychic information, if you want to call it that, is comes through thoughts, comes through cognition. It's not necessarily a big booming voice or seeing a spirit. I have had the experience of all of these things, you know, of all of a sudden hearing a voice say, this is what it is. I mean, before I got to this particular reading, I did hear someone almost audibly say, she wants to speak with her mother. And I thought, okay, I accept that. And eventually that is who came through. There were a couple of people who came through first, but it turned out that her mother had only been there for a little while, a short time. And I believe that the other people came through to kind of open the door for her so she would have enough energy to do it. And I'll just bring this up because it's probably something people have a question about. Like I said, this stuff comes into my mind for a reason. So someone listening wants to know this. It's often said that you shouldn't have a reading too quickly after someone passes. Most of the reason why people say that, why spiritual people will tell you that, is not because it's bothering the spirit. It's mostly because you're not in a place where you can even hear what the person's going to tell you. There's a grief process that happens, and it needs to be honored, and you need to give yourself time. Now, having said that, the person who transitions to the other side also has an adjustment period. It's like, you know, you move to a new town and suddenly people are asking you questions about how to get places, and you might have somewhat of an idea, but you don't necessarily know how to give them a street by street, you know, map on how to get somewhere. it's very similar. They've just gotten to the other side. They're adjusting. They don't know how to communicate as well as people who have been there for a little while longer, who maybe their vibration's a little more stable because they've adjusted to where they are. So just think of it as moving to a new town. You get to know people. There are people that'll be there to welcome you and show you around, and that's how it is. It's very much that way. There are people that will come and, you know, show you how to do certain things. And I think that on the other side, I have been told anyway by my people that what I do here, there is someone on the other side that's a counterpart that does it there. So I teach you how to connect with your spirituality here. Over there, people teach you how to connect with your people in physical form here. Where there's this big grid, it's like a web of life, and it's all connected. This is about the physical world in this world. You know, this is a physical plane of existence, and therefore that's what we accept as our reality. But beyond this, there is a reality. There is more than one reality. And it's a wonderful thing when you can finally move into that space where you do walk between the two worlds. I don't even know how to explain it. It's taken me 15 years or better to really get to this place myself. So I see there's a lot of guests in the chat room today. I just want to look in there real quick. If you're in there as a guest, you can probably see inside the chat room there's not much going on. That's because if you're a guest, it means you don't have an account, and unless you have one, you're not able to interact in the chat room. I'm just going to type something in there real quick so you know that I'm really there. hi. So, yeah, if you sign up for an account, you don't have to do much. Just username, password, email. You can get in the chat room and you can talk. You can ask questions. You can talk to each other. I always suggest that because it's like a great place to connect. And providing that the conversation's not moving too quickly, I can answer some questions or jump in there as well. So please feel free to go and do that. the other thing I want to mention, because, you know, I've learned so much from the readings I've given. It's like I'm sitting there learning as I'm doing it. One of the things that the angelic presence wanted my client to know was that it would be okay for her to just light a candle in remembrance every day. Now, depending on what religion you're in, there are some that it's like I said, it's like you only pray to God, and if you do that, it's sort of like a violation of that relationship. Well, I don't personally believe that. You're always welcome to your own interpretation, but this is my show. I'm going to tell you what I think, what I believe. Would God get upset with you here in this life if you asked a neighbor for help or advice on something instead of him? No. So if you're going to be asking your loved ones in spirit, they're just in a different place. Why is that hard? Why is that not a good idea? I don't know. I kind of don't understand that. I always ask people for help. If I know somebody was good at something, I ask for help. Wherever you are, please send people my way that will help me with this situation. I don't know exactly how they do it, but I know that they do it because it happens. And my grandmother has been by my side my entire life. It's been a crazy, amazing journey. She's helped me in so many ways. And, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you that how much importance it is to continue the relationship you have. It's a different relationship. It's not the same as when they were physically here, but you still have a relationship with your loved ones in spirit when they're passed, and they do still hear you, and they get so excited when you acknowledge them. I mean, most of what I pick up during a reading comes through in images in my mind, thoughts, but also emotions. I'm very empathic, and I feel that. I feel the joy when someone says, I really miss this person. All of a sudden, it's like that person shows up. Your thoughts, your energy, they can hear them, and it brings them to wherever you are in your mind. They are there. Sometimes it's just taking a moment to stop and remember them, and they become part of your vibration for that moment. One of the things that was really important for me to do this year, spiritually speaking, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do, just I'm in touch with my guides all day long. I don't when I'm having conversations in the car and you probably drive past me and think I'm nuts and I'm not talking to anyone, I'm talking to someone. You just can't see them. But they're there. And, yeah, I'll talk to my grandmother and we'll have this conversation. I don't know why I feel the need to say it all loud. You don't really have to, but I don't know. I guess I enjoy it. I guess it keeps me company a little bit. But I'm talking to my angels, my spirit guides, my people all day long. They'll help if I need help. They'll tell me things. You know, my grandmother helps me with a lot of stupid things. Like when I lose something, well, first of all, I lose stuff a lot. It's another great aspect of my personality. But the last time I lost something, my grandmother was like, why aren't you praying to St. Anthony? You know, that's who you're supposed to pray to. And I was thinking to myself, you know, that's really funny because it is, but I always think of, you know, it's just like anyone else. When you're in trouble, who do you call? There's always one person you call. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that because you told me to do it. All right. So I have a St. Anthony candle here, and it's lit. It's actually lit for my grandfather, whose name's also Anthony. But I lost an earring, and this is like an earring I'm never going to be able to replace. It's like this, I have to have this earring. I don't know where it is. And I didn't know where to look, and all of a sudden the thought came to me after I said this little prayer to St. Anthony, look in the car. Look in the car underneath the seat. And I did. And it was there. I have been looking everywhere, in pockets, in my clothes. I'm like, I don't know when I had it last. And then there it was in the car. So, I mean, you do get your answer. You do get help when you ask for it. And lighting a candle in remembrance for someone, saying a prayer. You can pray for, this is another thing. You can pray for people once they've passed. You can pray to God for the soul of that person, that they're receiving blessings on the other side, that they're progressing and doing well, and that you just want to send all of your love to them. You can continue to do that if it makes you feel more comfortable to do it in that respect instead of speaking directly to them. But it's all up to your comfort level. It's never a good idea to do something you don't feel comfortable with when it comes to spiritual matters, because that vibration of fear and, you know, just being uncomfortable and uncertain, unstable, translates in your energy that you're projecting. And that's not a good vibration to put out there in general. So, hello there, Jess. There's someone named Jess who just came into the chat room. And if anyone has any questions in the chat room, and you can actually type in the chat room. There's a couple of people in there that are members, so I know you can type in there if you're logged in. Just shoot me a little message. I got about 17 minutes left. If you listened to last week's show, which was entirely different than this week's show, we talked a little bit about animal messages, and I recently did a blog on the sparrow because I've just been seeing so many of these cute little sparrows. I've been seeing a lot of things, actually. But the sparrow was one that I could get a hold of real quick. The other one is dragonfly. Dragonfly is another kind of medicine, and it's the message of, well, you kind of have to go, like I said in the last show, there are a lot of different meanings that an animal can have because they have a lot of different behaviors. You know, it's just like you can be described with multiple adjectives, so can the medicine of these animals. But one of the big things about dragonfly is, because their eggs are laid in water and then they become, creatures that can fly, the aspect of emotion and thought coming together is a really big one for a dragonfly. Water being emotion, air being thought, flight being the energy of intelligence and thought. That's something that I've had issues with when dealing with the spiritual world. I have a hard time bringing in my logical side. And occasionally my logical side has issues with the spirit world. So this energy, this medicine of being able to blend these two things together is something that spirit is bringing to me right now. And I'm trying really hard to listen. I will meditate and open up and ask for the energy of dragonfly to please come and give me the messages that I need in order to have this sort of harmonize, these two energies harmonize within myself. I also posted a little something on my Facebook page. I'm a big believer in essential oils and the properties of them. I'm a big believer in, you know, the medicine of plants and the vibration that exists in things that come from the earth. And the essential oils are very much a part of that. I have a locket that I purchased from earthsolutions.com. Check them out. They're fantastic. They have a lot of really great aromatherapy products. I'm going to post that in the chat room, actually. earthsolutions.com. And the blend of oil that I was using is actually from Young Living, which you can find on youngliving.com. It is called Transformation. It just came to me, just popped into my head. I thought, you know, which pieces do I want to put on my neck today? You know, I've got lots of clang and jewelry going on here. You can hear it. And the aromatherapy pendant just popped right into my mind and Transformation. Put that oil in there and quickly looked up Transformation to remember what was in it and what it was supposed to help with. And it's supposed to help you with the energy of change. And this is it. This is a big time for change. Also pulled card from the bird signs deck to try to further the information in my own mind a little bit here, give me a little bit more expand. And I pulled crow, which from the bird signs deck is the energy of change. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? If I picked that up intuitively, I pulled the card and that's what it says. The oil that I found, you know, to be the most beneficial has this property to it as well. I know I'm on the right track. When everything comes back the same, it's like taking multiple tests at the doctor's office. You know, you've figured out this is what it is. And that's where the spiritual stuff that you pick up is integrated in the logical part of yourself, and the doing part of yourself is able to confirm it. It's almost like a flow that goes back and forth, like a swing on a swing set. You go up, you get your spiritual information, you come back down, you confirm it with something physical. It's a dance. And that's like the best way that I can describe it. It's phenomenal and it's fun. And as you do it more and more, it comes to you faster and faster. It's almost like, you know, when you first learn how to run, you can't run too far or you can't run too fast. And then the more you do it, it just seems easier. It's like, oh my God, I just ran a whole mile already? Yeah. Practice makes perfect. Best way to put it. Let's see, what else is going on in the chat room here? Not very much. You guys are so quiet today. I had a couple of callers, and I assume it's probably because they're either listening on the phone or they're waiting to be read. But this is, you know, I've said it before. This really isn't a show about giving readings. It's about how to integrate your spirituality into your life using my own experience as an example, because that's all I can really speak to. How to listen to your inner self. And let's see, I am, you know, I'm but one soul here trying to be on my journey and, you know, do the right thing while I'm here, help other people. One of the things that I also want to bring up that I probably talk about a lot, I know I've mentioned it several times on other shows, one of the biggest issues that people seem to have, this is going to be some of that medicine of dragonfly. In order to better understand our emotions, you really need to look up this book, because no one explains emotions like this woman, Carla McLaren. The emotional part of us and the logical part of us we think of as very separate. They argue with each other. They don't get along. Emotions don't make sense. They're not logical. That is an absolute bold-faced lie. That's not the truth. Emotions are messengers. Emotions are just like a pain in your body tells you, oops, something fell on my foot. Your emotion will tell you something. The thing is, you need to take the time to explore it. And I got this book right here, actually. It's a very large book, and I don't know that you could sit and read it all the way through if you're not an avid reader, because it's very intense. But it's called The Language of Emotions, What Your Feelings Are Trying to Tell You, Carla McLaren, K-A-R-L-A, McLaren, M-C-L-A-R-E-N. She is a wonderful teacher of empathy, empathic ability, what your emotions are trying to tell you, how to work with your emotions. And one of the emotions I'm going to just bring up here, and yeah, I'm going to bring up another real life scenario. I was talking to somebody the other night, and of course, it was texting, which I absolutely loathe. The level of connection that you can get just through texting. I mean, I don't like talking on the phone. I'd rather talk face-to-face. But if you take that connection and then you remove it and you do phone, you're one level back. Now you're talking texting. I mean, come on. The quality of the connection to have with people through texting, don't accept it. It's not good enough. I'm sorry, but it's not. We're texting. And I said, you know what? I'm feeling kind of down tonight. I'm just going to go to bed. And, of course, the response was, you know, oh, you're letting things get you down. You're just always going to be held back. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did I ask for a counseling session? Excuse me, one second, please. First of all, don't tell me how to feel. I'm going to tell you right now. I feel sad. When I feel sad, I honor my sadness. I thank it, and I ask it why it's there. That's how I work through it. Otherwise, I'm going to end up with a tumor if I keep suppressing feelings that are supposedly negative. It's not the right thing to do, people. It's not. Everything you have is there for a reason. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean you get to say it's crap and it's not worth anything. So, yeah, I don't like to be told how to feel. That bothers me. That's a button. So, you know, then I, of course, asked my spirit people, am I overreacting here? Is this a problem? And my spirit people told me, this person has a problem with this emotion and is projecting it on you. This person's problem with sadness in the past is now prompting this person to say what they're saying. Really? That's a big shock. People imposing their crap on everyone else? Yeah, that never happens. Yeah, in case you couldn't, you know, figure it out, yeah, it really pushed my button. And I am a huge proponent of people taking responsibility for their own shit. There, I said it. I don't like people putting their stuff on me. I don't like people imposing their issues on me, and it's a continual thing. It just, when I started to get more into spiritual work and I realized what everyone was saying was more about them than it was about me, that's when I started to really realize what my sensitivity was telling me all these years. I was so empathic as a teenager, I would sequester myself. I'm like, we'd have big parties and I couldn't be out there. I didn't even understand why. I just knew I felt terrible and I couldn't be out there with all those people and all those energies. Started realizing, you know, I was absorbing a lot of people's stuff. And it was because when someone says something to you, it is so much more about what they're telling you about themselves than it is about what they're telling you. Now, I'm talking in an everyday sense. When you come to me for a reading, I put my ego aside and I let whatever spirit's going to tell me come through. And you can tell because there's a shift in the way that I talk. There's a difference in the quality and tone of my voice. When it's me, it's me. Like right now, this is me. You want to talk about this stuff? This is me. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't like to be told, you know, hey, don't feel sad. It's gonna be bad for you. Like, oh, really? Yeah, I don't think you should tell me that. That's me. That's Nicole. This other stuff, this comes from another place. It comes from another dimension where there is no ego. And even though ego appears to be this worthless thing, it isn't. It's one of the tasks we come here specifically to deal with is our ego. It's one of the biggest lessons you have in your life. And you can't come here without one. It's attached to your physical body. It's part of your makeup. So working with it, you know, not trying to get rid of it, not masking it or saying that all things that are bad I don't want and therefore I'll run away from. No, it's working with it. It's accepting the gifts that ego has for you and all of the things that ego brings. Fear, anger, resentment, sadness. All of these feelings are just as much a part of you and valid as, you know, joy and bliss, rapture, pleasure, all of those things. You can't have one without the other. So my advice is please pick up this book. You know, this woman is an angel on earth as far as I'm concerned. And if I ever get a chance to meet her, the first thing I'm going to do is just hug her because I don't know how I would have been able to deal with a lot of things in my life because I am such an emotional person if I had not picked up her stuff. She's incredible. Absolutely wonderful. So in closing, because I had about 5 minutes left here, pick up Carla McLaren's book. If you're interested in what it really means to be a witch, check out Lori Bruno. She actually has her own website as well. I want to say, I wish I had these things before. I just I think it's LauriBrunoPsychic.com. That's her website. Go to HexSalem.com. You can find some information there as well. And she does teach classes, so pay attention. You know, if there's, like I said, just because you explore something, it doesn't mean that you actually have to just believe it and buy into it right away. So take the time to understand it. Take the time to see what people are saying. You may be surprised at what you find. I know I was. There's also another store from Christian Day that Christian Day owns called Omen in Salem. It's called OmenSalem.com on the website there. You can look up that as well. He has some classes and events in that one as well. But, you know, there's just so much out there to explore. There's so many things that, you know, you can just benefit from if you just give yourself enough credit to open your mind and remove those restrictions just for a few minutes to see what you find. It's an incredible experience. I love every new person that I meet is a new experience for me. It's a new set of beliefs that, you know, I get a chance to understand from a new perspective. But you know what? If you live from your heart, you don't need to belong to any club. You don't need to have any set of spiritual beliefs that, you know, are better, one better than the other. That's really all that matters. I know that sounds airy-fairy, but, you know, we're really here to take care of one another. We're really here to experience ourselves through other people. This whole exercise is about separation and boundaries and seeing things as separate so that we can experience the aspects of ourselves that, you know, we can't when we're all in the spirit form, you know. Every person you see a reflection of yourself back in to some degree. That's why we're drawn to each other. That's part of being a human being. So, oops. Oh, he logged out. Oh, wait, Jeff. Jeff is trying to find my Facebook page. Okay, Jeff. It's going to be under Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. Messenger. So that will work. Yeah, the other one's my personal page. I kind of try to keep my business out of my personal page. My mom's on my personal page. It's like keeping in touch with family kind of a thing and friends from other places. It's not a big free-for-all. So, sorry. let me get on there, actually, and check it out. Facebook. I think that is what it is. I think it's just facebook.com/confessionsofaspiritmessenger, but I'm going to look it up now because you piqued my interest there. So it is. Oh, okay. You know what? It's under pages. I just suggest put it in the search because it's going to be too long for me to say what it is, and then there's numbers after it. You know, you got to love Facebook. Facebook likes to do things in a complicated way. Yay, complications. That's not like life at all. Well, I just want to offer many blessings to everyone who's listening. I hope that you're getting your meditation on this weekend. This feels like a real strong weekend for us to kind of connect back to source. Memorial Day, there'll be a lot of people going to the cemetery to visit their loved ones, especially fallen soldiers, and whatever your political beliefs are, I just urge you to have compassion for those who have given their lives in service to this country or even to other countries. Death is never something to be taken lightly. It's a transition to another place, but there's always those grieving ones that are left behind, and they do have, you know, a right to go through that grief. When you see someone that's lost someone, cemeteries can be really depressing, but they're just resting places. There's just nothing for you to be afraid of there. It's just something physical for you to go and place something in front of and to have honor, to honor someone. But you can also do that, like I said, by having an altar for the dead in your home. And it doesn't have to be crazy or scary. It could just be a picture, maybe a pair of rosary beads that belong to the person in the picture, anything like that. So honor your loved ones in spirit. They're so happy when you do. And honor the connection that you still have with them, because life goes on. Death is but a door. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. And as always, walk with one foot in each world. I will see you all next week. Have a wonderful week and many blessings. Thank you.